Blog Talk Radio.
You know the damage one ignorant Negro can do. We were in France in the First War. We had won decorations. But the white boys had told all them French gals that we had tails. Then they found this ignorant colored soldier. Paid him to tie a tail to his ass and run around half naked making monkey sounds. They put him on a big round table in the Café Napoleon. Put a reed in his hand. Crown on his head. Blanket on his shoulders and made him eat bananas in front of all them Frenchies.
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese on the radio when we're back and we're live and it's Friday. Friday the 13th, damn it. I don't know anybody out there who's superstitious anymore, so there's not much to talk about. It's Friday the 13th, April 13th, 2012. I'd like to dedicate this show to, if you got 'em, smoke 'em. That's pretty much all I can say. Very, 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 very odd day in my life on Friday the 13th. But nonetheless, it is a day. There is plenty to talk about. Actually, no, there's not. Let me rephrase that. There's not much to talk about. Right now, the only thing that's going on is, you know, the presidential race. It's Friday. It's usually Friday. It's a slow news day. There are plenty of things we could talk about, but most of those things are, you know, it's a two-minute conversation. The conversation I'd like to have today, and we need to get our Kool-Aid man, resident Kool-Aid man on the line. He's going to be disappointed at what it is that I have to say today about the Trayvon Martin case. And right now I have Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz to back me up. Because I've been everywhere. You know, as I told you guys, I did a show in New Orleans that's going to be airing on Sunday. And I talked about it. And I told another guy who's on Blog Talk Radio, my good friend Cornelius Carter, he does a show here on Blog Talk Radio, I told him. The Trayvon Martin case has to end in the way that people expected it to proceed, with riots. Because truth is, George Zimmerman is going to be acquitted. If not, the case is going to be tossed out on its ear. By the judge. Did you hear the new news today, Mary?
No, I did not.
The judge in his case recused herself.
How did she do that?
Well, she can. If there is a conflict of interest. Because the judge that had been given the George Zimmerman case, apparently your husband is a CNN commentator or a CNN political analyst.
Oh, that would be a problem.
Yeah. yes.
That might constitute an issue.
Yes.
I think he's partnered with a CNN analyst.
Yeah, exactly. So she's got to recuse herself. But what I want you to hear is this. In fact, you know what? Let's get.
I got it.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's get Kool-Aid Man on the phone because he is going to argue this. And then after that, while you're doing that, I want to get our resident bounty hunter, Derek the Bounty Hunter down in Florida. We're going to get him on the line now as well, and I hope he's not busy, you know, hunting down a fugitive or something when we do this. There's a strong possibility he could be. Okay. Let's see if we can get him on the line here. And because I think he even is going to be stunned when I get this. This is Derek the Bounty Hunter, our resident bounty hunter, who's down in the Orlando, Florida area, just 20 miles south of Sanford, Florida.
Hello.
Derek the Bounty Hunter.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy? Listen, I need to ask you a question. Can I tug at your ear for a couple of minutes?
Yeah. What's going on?
Listen, I need to play this audio for you because this is the famed legal analyst, Alan Dershowitz. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Alan Dershowitz was on CNN a couple of days ago. What did you say, JC?
He's a quack.
No, he's not. This is Derek, help me out. If you can call a lawyer, would you put Alan Dershowitz on your payroll?
Hey, shoot, he's not no bad lawyer. He's won some cases.
Yeah. I think he's a legal scholar, if there were anyone.
Made him one.
No, well, remember, Alan Dershowitz was a name before the media was at the, you know, at the fever pitch of this day. Let me play this for you, Derek, and I want to hear what it is that you think when I play it. This is Alan Dershowitz on MSNBC talking about the document that the prosecutor gave in the Trayvon Martin case, you know, the charges against George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he said when he read the affidavit. And this is what I've been telling everybody on every other radio show that I've been on. George Zimmerman is going home if the case isn't thrown out on its ear when it's presented to the first judge. But listen to what Alan Dershowitz says. I've got no legal leg to stand on. I said this days ago. This is what Alan Dershowitz said yesterday.
To this conversation, you've seen the affidavit of probable cause. What do you make of it?
It won't suffice. Most affidavits of probable cause are very thin. This is so thin that it won't make it past the judge on a second-degree murder charge. There's simply nothing in there that would justify second-degree murder. The elements of the crime aren't established. Basically, what's in the affidavit is what's in the public domain, with the exception of the few little things that were put forward by your previous commentator. But the fact that the mother identified the voice as that of her son, of course, we all knew that was going to happen. There's nothing in there, of course, either about the stains on the back of Zimmerman's shirt, the blood on the back of his head, the bloody nose, all of that. It's not only thin, it's irresponsible. I think that what you have here is an elected public official who made a campaign speech last night for re-election when she gave her presentation and overcharged. This case will not, if the evidence is no stronger than what appears in the probable cause affidavit, this case will result in an acquittal.
Okay. Resulting in an acquittal. Legal scholar Alan Dershowitz. An acquittal. Legal scholar, Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz will lead to an acquittal just based on the affidavit. Just on a probable cause. Do you think, now I'm asking you this question, do you think that they arrested George Zimmerman just to give the family what they wanted? Now, the reason why I'm asking you that is I'm going to play one more piece of audio for you, and this is directly from the rabble-rouser himself, Al Sharpton.
Yesterday morning, Attorney General Hold the King spoke, said that the federal government was going to leave no stone unturned. Later that afternoon, we got the state prosecutor making the announcement. Let me say this. First and foremost, many people listening didn't think anything was going to happen. I did not think we'd get a murder 2 charge. I thought that maybe we'd get manslaughter. We are getting, of course, the right wing attacking because they...
Yeah, we don't care about the right wing. So he thought we'd get manslaughter. Derek, shouldn't this have been a manslaughter charge?
Yeah, I think she went a little too high, you know, because, you know, honestly, man, look at these prosecutors out here in Florida. They went too high on Casey, and they just went too high on this one. They probably should have went for manslaughter. That's probably
so
what
you don't,
best.
So you don't believe that there's any possibility that the reason why they went this high and went for the most heinous charge that they possibly could was to satisfy the rage that was going on in Florida?
If they didn't put this man in, if they didn't give him a charge, there would have been a riot.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I believe that the tensions were building so much, and the new Black Panther Party was getting so radical, and the marches were becoming so often and so rampant, that I believe you're absolutely right, that it would have gone nuts. But here's
what I'm thinking. They shot the police car, you know?
I know, exactly. Shot six bullets. Six bullets is excessive. One bullet is, I can understand that one bullet is like a prank. Six bullets is pretty ticked off. Here's why I ask you this. And this is just a theory. And JC, I want you to give me yours. Give me, if you disagree, marry you as well. I think that the prosecutor gave this charge of second degree murder because they knew George Zimmerman would beat it, because they don't want anybody challenging the stand your ground law. Does that seem far-fetched? Jeb Bush fought for the state. Remember, this is a law that got changed several times in your state, Derek. It got changed several times. This was a readaptation of that, and this was an overwhelming vote. The average citizen wants to be able to defend themselves. And as much as people believe that Florida is this Democratic state, you know, this blue state.
Hold on, we're a Republican state, dude.
Yeah, I know you are. That's what I'm saying. People are always under the impression that Florida is a blue state. It's not. It's the South, man. People treat Florida like it's a different part of the South. It's a red state. And that stand your ground law is a very conservative law. There's no way that they are going to do anything that puts that law in jeopardy by putting George Zimmerman in jail. If George Zimmerman goes to jail on second-degree murder on the stand your ground law, do you understand the ruckus that would be caused in your state?
Well, you know how it is, man. You know, they love their Bibles. Here, you know?
They love their Bibles and their guns, right?
Them good old boys.
Listen, yeah, bottom line. Yeah. So do you think that she overcharged because she knew he was going to get a... Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know, but she definitely overcharged it. I was like, whoa.
Come on. Even Al Sharpton said, I thought we'd get... Al Sharpton's no legal scholar. I mean, if he knows anything about legality, he's on the wrong end of it.
Yeah.
So he knew that it should have been a manslaughter charge because, I mean, even the mom had to pull back her statement when she said, I think it was an accident. Of course she thinks it was an accident.
Look, you know what, though? I mean, defending George Zimmerman, dude, come on. Seriously, he killed a kid, man.
I don't care.
I mean, don't sit up here and make this guy seem like he's dead. Dude, he killed him, man. That was wrong. I don't care how y'all justify it. That was wrong. He killed a kid, man. You know, that had a Skittles and an MIST. Like I said, if you're in the security game and you can't beat up a damn 160-pound kid, you do not need to be in this business. And you know why I'm in this. Reese, you know why I'm in this business.
Yes,
all right?
Because you like you kicking ass.
Come on. You know that.
I'm not gonna feel anything for a 17-year-old kid who obviously robs jewelry, smokes weed, and
he had every legal right to be there.
Did he have
a legal right to be there? What do you mean you don't care?
No, come on, man.
That's wrong.
You know what means something to me? When a 6-year-old girl is Derek.
He got murdered, man.
Derek, when a 6-year-old girl gets shot in front of her front yard by a stray bullet from a gangbanger, that I care about.
That's another child that got murdered by an idiot. And just like this boy was murdered by an idiot. George Zimmerman is nobody to stand behind. That dude's a fool, man. He can't never be on my team.
No, the difference between George Zimmerman and the fool who shot the 6-year-old girl is that George Zimmerman made a fatal mistake. And that's all it is. You can like it or not, it's a fatal mistake. But it was a mistake. The guy who shot that 6-year-old girl in Chicago had reckless indifference for life.
Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
George Zimmerman.
Yeah, exactly. So did George Zimmerman, bro. So did George Zimmerman.
Come on, Reese.
Reese, do you think I would have had to shoot Trayvon? You know me, man.
No.
23 Derek, years. You think I would have had to shoot Trayvon?
Let me finish. There's a difference with you. See, you would have gotten the thrill out of busting his ass with your fist. You would have gotten a personal thrill out of that. You having to use your gun would have belittled you.
Exactly.
You wouldn't want to go out like a sucker. You'd want to go hand to hand. You're old school like that. This is a 28-year-old guy.
On the same token, in this day and age,
you can't equate George Zimmerman with one of these gangbangers shooting people at random in the street.
No,
you can't
equate him to that. Nobody is equating him to that. What we're saying is, this is still a 17-year-old kid that lost his life. That didn't have to. If George Zimmerman felt threatened,
right,
he could have shot the kid in the kneecap. He could have shot him in his foot. He could have just probably bucked off one in the air, and the kid would have got off him. You know, if that was the situation, he didn't have to shoot the kid in the chest.
And this kid had every right to defend himself. I mean, seriously, if you're going to go ahead and pursue somebody, you better have some hand skills. I'm serious.
And not only that, but Trayvon was defending his standing. He was standing his own ground.
Okay.
He didn't have like a neighborhood watch shirt on or something like that.
Wait. Are you standing your ground if you throw the first
punch? To be honest with you, when I look at George Zimmerman, the way he looks like some type of damn sexual predator, man. You know what I'm saying? To be honest with you, he does, doesn't he? Doesn't he?
But who follows somebody like that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the prosecution is staking their case on. I listened to those 911 tapes again. I found them over on Wikipedia. I think you're dead wrong.
You know what?
I don't think that when George was walking on the tapes, when he asked him was he following him, it was a short time after that that he gave him the address of where he was going to meet the officer.
Right. Hold on for a second, Derek. I hear you're getting out of a car. Are you following him?
Huh? No, man. I observe and report. Hey, listen. Right now, I'm doing my part-time security job at this apartment complex in the hood, and I see a whole bunch of in this apartment complex. There's a little clique in here. They call themselves Murder Gang. Okay, they're little buds. All right. I see too many of them hanging around. And I'm gonna call the police and tell them I see a bunch of them loitering. I'm observing and reporting. I'm not gonna go up to Murder Gang with my 17-shot Smith & Wesson, you know, think I'm, wired up right here. I'm going to observe and report because I'm not the police.
And let them handle their job.
Even though, unlike George Zimmerman, you know, I am a licensed armed security guard. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to go over here and confront Murder Gang, even though one of their little girlfriends is having a birthday party barbecue. But I think this thing is getting out of control. Observe and report, my friend.
Wow. Well, we appreciate you you taking the call, Derek. We'll let you get back to your job. Be careful out there, dude. Just be careful.
Always.
All right?
Always. Come on, y'all don't got to worry about me. I worry about y'all. All right? Y'all don't ever got to worry about me.
All right, I'm glad you said that.
All right, y'all take it easy.
You got it, man. I'll talk to you later. I understand how you guys feel, and you feel as though he's just an unarmed kid. I'm sorry, maybe I'm just too cynical.
No. But on the same token, Reese, I think you're dead wrong. I think you're dead wrong with your timeline on that tape.
Well, you know what? Let's take a break. Let's work on getting that call. Let's play it in its entirety. Can we do that?
Dig it up.
Okay, dig it up. How much time do you need, do you think?
I'll know in a moment.
Okay, so we'll take a break for about 5 minutes, and we'll see whether or not we can get the audio, and let's listen to it in its entirety.
I mean, I could dig it up while we're discussing anything.
Okay, well I'm saying I'm gonna take a break now. So that'll give you some time to at least dig it up and see if we can actually set up the audio so we can, you know, we can analyze it. We can listen to the whole thing ourselves. No one else seems to be playing the whole 911 tape. Let's see if we can play the whole tape. It couldn't. What does it last? Like 3-4 minutes?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah. So that's not long at all. Let's see if we can listen to the whole tape. Let's see if we can download and get the whole thing, and we'll take it from there.
All right.
All right. We'll be back. We'll take a break. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta. I'm
Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack? What's in the new chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in the...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's...
He's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman, New Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E, I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio. We're back 26 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com. Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, 2012. Next half hour, I'm actually going to ask you guys a question about superstition.
Really?
Yeah, and why? No, why?
I mean, oh, come on.
I have to. It's Friday the 13th.
Oh, God.
Have to. Everybody's doing it. No, that's not why I'm doing it. Anyway.
No, that's not why you're doing it, because really, nobody's doing it.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's a reason why I'm asking. I at least will make an interesting conversation, but we will. JC, how are we doing? Do you need a setup or something, or are you having some difficulty? Is he alive? Somewhere around? Maybe so. JC, you there? Okay, he's working on the audio right now as we speak, so we'll get it on there. But I think too many people are getting caught up in the whole minutia of George Zimmerman's 28 years old, Trayvon Martin is 17, instead of looking at a broader scope, because this is not only is it complicated, the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman case. It has to be completely looked at from all angles. It can't be looked from these little minute areas. You know, it isn't as simple as Trayvon Martin's age. It isn't as simple as he's got Skittles and an iced tea. We're using all of these terms like, oh, Skittles and iced tea. He had a 9mm. It's like, oh, you can't fight yourself against Skittles and iced tea against a 9mm. I'm like, come on. That's a little stupid. And it's ridiculous. Just because he went to go get Skittles and an iced tea, you know, I mean, would we have...
For his brother.
But would we have looked at this different if, you know, if he had a bottle of Jack or he had a bottle of Hennessy?
Yeah.
And a Philly blunt?
Yeah.
Then we would say, oh, he was asking for it.
Not that he was asking for it, but the possibility is that being high or intoxicated may have made him act in a fashion that was resulted in a very unfortunate situation.
What if it finds out that he did smoke some weed? What if it's found out? I'm just asking.
I don't know.
Because we don't know anything about the autopsy. But what if that did happen?
It would change things.
Change things for what?
It would change things because that would change people's minds. Because first it was Skittles and iced tea.
And that's all anyone ever talked about.
And now it's, and he's 17. And I understand your point of view when you say that. It's a very good point to bring up. But, I mean, the way society is, of course, you can't compare a bag of Skittles and an iced tea to a bag of weed.
Right. So you're saying that because the iced tea and the Skittles, those two...
It was like they people use those things.
Items, right, to define who he is.
To be like, oh, this is it. Of course, maybe not, maybe they did it on purpose. There are people that use that on purpose. That is, in fact, what he did have. So we understand that. But it's like, okay, so, you know, if he had iced tea and a bag of Skittles, he's 17, he's this young, innocent kid going to grab some candy and a sweet drink from the store. He's never going to, you know, but first of all, who's to say, and I'm not saying anything about Trayvon Martin, who's to say that criminals don't drink iced tea and eat frickin' Skittles?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. I mean, I know some crackheads who got a hankering for Little Debbie. I mean, if a crackhead got shot with a Little Debbie cake, or do we all of a sudden say, oh, he only wanted was a Little Debbie cake? I mean, would that be the case? That's why I'm saying that people are looking at this a certain way. You're just going, nah. It's that figurative thing that, you know, that people are putting on this. I think that people keep talking about that because they believe that in some way that puts an emphasis on his innocence. He was just getting Skittles.
It's like a marketing tool.
Yeah, of course. Oh, Mary, how brilliant is that? It's a marketing tool used in the media. It's so amazing.
Speech is a crazy thing because it affects you in ways that most people don't even think about. If somebody could tell you the same thing five different ways,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you every way you will feel something different.
Really? Tell me why. Because this is amazing. And I saw this today in two separate reports, one on television early this morning and online at Newsbusters, at newsbusters.org. On ABC, on Good Morning America this morning, they were telling the state, Matt Gutman, that piece of garbage, Matt Gutman of ABC News is on the show previewing what he's about to report. Today we got the first clips of shooter George Zimmerman, blah, 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 and some things we also found out about what he likes to eat. George Zimmerman is, I mean, he's a regular guy.
Fried chicken?
No, they don't know, because apparently they got a list of his commissary food. And so they said, he appears to like Fritos. I'm sitting up and going like, oh, now Fritos is going to be like the anti-food? I was like, oh, and the kids are going to say, oh, George Zimmerman ate Fritos. We're not going to eat them anymore. If you think I'm kidding, why I find that so relevant. By the way, CNN did it as well. Newsbusters.org reported that CNN made a big to-do about the commissary food that George Zimmerman got while he was in jail. The reason why I'm making this point...
They're only doing this because of the Skittles.
Well, no. The sensationalism of the Skittles and, the iced tea thing. But let me tell you something. This is what I know the news media does.
Now, that's like marketing murder.
Right, exactly. But here's the thing. We've seen this before, but it was over, almost two decades ago. A lot of people don't know this. Do you remember the vehicle that O.J. Simpson was driving?
Of course.
What was it?
A Ford Bronco.
A white Ford Bronco. Yes. Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened after O.J. Simpson drove in that white Ford Bronco to the Ford Bronco company? Ford making that brand. Do you know what happened?
What happened?
Sales for the Ford Bronco shot 90%. Shot up 90%. For the Ford Bronco after that slow-speed chase. Do you know what Ford did with the Bronco afterwards?
Yeah.
They stopped making it. There are no more Ford Broncos after 1995, 96. None. They no longer make it. Now, when have you ever heard of a product that increases in sales where the company stops manufacturing it? The object is supply and demand, right? More people want it, you sell more. They discontinued it.
They probably made a boo-boo. I mean, they must have made a killer.
But they didn't want to be associated with O.J. Because
after,
in the...
After...
He was acquitted.
Yeah. Okay. After they made their money.
Oh, yeah, but you're going to...
They didn't stop selling him the day he got arrested.
Yeah, but
you know,
no, but I'm saying they stopped selling them after he was acquitted, which I find incredibly odd. JC,
well, because they made their money and then they were making a great political statement for themselves.
What? Yeah, exactly.
They were saying, you know, basically we've already made our money, so it really don't matter.
So I'm almost waiting right now. I'm waiting for Fritos to say, "We by in no way, endorse George Zimmerman." It's ridiculous. JC, how we doing? Is he there? Oh, it's James. James, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, did you hear any of that, what we just talked about?
Yes, I did. And you guys kill me, I swear.
Oh, come on, man. Kool-Aid Montgomery's in the house. Break it down. Am I off my rocker that the whole idea of talking about Trayvon Martin and the Skittles and iced tea and constantly bringing that up and, you know, literally beating it over the head over and over again. Skittles iced tea is almost marketing the innocence of Trayvon Martin with those two items.
I don't know about marketing, but the thing is, it's emphasized to show that there is nothing that you could even speculate on how he was suspicious or him being made to look like a bad guy.
He's black in a hoodie. He's suspicious to me.
Right. He's black in a hoodie. That was, first of all,
James, right. James. No, I'm speaking for myself. He's black.
You're not the only one. That's like what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. It's because that stereotype does denote a negative. You see a black man in a hoodie. If he's tall and kind of well built, he's scary. He's already got one strike against him and hasn't even done anything.
But wait a minute, are you saying that the people's fears of that look of a tall black man in a hoodie are unwarranted? Are you saying that predetermination or preconception, it goes without any real, in other words, without fact, without basis?
To the extreme that it is taken, yeah, it is without basis. It really is.
So you're saying that people today are giving their judgment on, black hooded, pants sagging individuals, that's not threatening, and people shouldn't deem that to be a threatening sort of a threatening person looking that way.
First and foremost, it's not even just the hood, the hoodies or the pants sagging, okay? Because it's anything. All right, whether it's dreads or there's always something to make a black man fearsome. I was watching the other day, just a case in point here. I know it's a little of a side, but I was watching the Celebrity Apprentice. Okay, uh-huh. And Arsenio's on there, and he had had a meltdown. He was, you know, he had been disrespected, and he pretty much lost it. Now, there was the housewife, Miss Giudice. She was standing behind him, right? And so he's getting loud. He's yelling. He's, he's expressing himself. And she stands behind him, and she says, up until this point, no one had seen him so much as speak loudly.
Yeah, no one's ever seen it. No one's ever seen him get animated or over the top.
Right. Yeah. Not even speak a loud word, okay?
Right.
And she's standing behind him, and she says, "I'm afraid now." And this is a woman who's known for flipping over tables.
Okay. So what? Wait. Okay. He's a black man. She's not supposed to be afraid.
Yeah, the black man happens to be upset.
What's her name, from the New Jersey Housewives?
Yeah, who's
on? Yeah.
So what do you mean she's not afraid? She's probably witnessed violence before.
But once again, here is a man who hasn't even said an unkind word. that this time he was clear, visibly upset, and he was expressing himself, and all of a sudden now she's afraid of him. But why? All he was doing, he wasn't throwing things around. He wasn't, you know, all he did was he was speaking loudly. And she was like, well, I'm afraid.
Well, she shouldn't be. But that is just her being her. She's.
Her being. I still think it leads to, once again, the black man as scary. As a black man gets upset, all right, the stereotype is black men get upset, they get violent, they get this, they get that. It's something to be afraid of.
Wait. But he's yelling and screaming around women. Women are, you know, come on, women are sensitive people. I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that he was black.
What are you basing this off of? Like, what was the situation? He yelled.
He had a meltdown recently. Gotten a lot of press for it. TMZ was all over it. He was calling women the C word. I don't know what woman he called the C word. I think it was
Arsenio Hall.
Is it Audrey O'Day, whatever her name is?
Something the chick from the chick from Danity Kane.
Right, exactly.
Aubrey Tate, something like that.
I don't even remember her name. But yeah, there was something about that he had called her that. excuse me.
But this was before that.
Okay.
I can't even believe that he had a meltdown like that.
Thing is, he was disrespected, and he was, you know, and most people are just. Are harping on the fact that he had the meltdown, not what caused the meltdown.
Right. So what? But listen, it's not like because a black guy gets angry, now all of a sudden anybody who gets frightened is unwarranted. Come on, no.
I'm not saying that it's unwarranted. What I'm saying is because of the stereotype, because of the general feeling, all right, and this is not
the
first.
You know what, James? If any man, James, honestly, hold on one second. If I know where you go with this. If any man starts to act like that, or anybody for that matter, I would be like, hold up. I'd have to get up, you know what I mean, and, like, see what's going on around me because anybody can just start going crazy.
Let's check in on JC real quick and see how long. JC, are we having any luck yet?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe what I had to go through to get it.
Whew, okay, man. Well, at any particular time you want to chime in, just let us know, all right?
Oh, no, it's uploaded.
Oh, it is? Okay, yes.
You just got to refresh.
I will refresh, and I will go in. But I want to play a piece of audio for James real quick, because I think this encompasses exactly what it is that I'm talking about when I see these kids. I don't care how innocent most people say that they are. But Dave Chappelle, who I think is brilliant, personally, I think he's brilliant, says something quite profound about the subject matter. So I'll play it for you, and then you can tell me what it is that you think.
Like a guy be out, just having a good lot of guys. You be out of clubs, all right. He's kicking with your boys, and a girl walks by, and man, she looks good. She looks good. Not good in that classical way. I mean, you know, I'm talking good. Like, she got half her ass hanging out her skirt. Her titties are all mashed together, popping out the top of her turtleneck and shit. Hey, you with your buddies, right? You with your buddies, you got a couple drinks in you, and you see, guys, you might try to talk to you. You might not come out right now. I don't know what you say to
him. Damn, look at him titties.
The girl gets mad at you. Oh, wait a minute. Just because I'm dressed this way does not make me a whore. Which is true. Gentlemen, that is true. Just because they dress a certain way doesn't mean they are a certain way. Don't ever forget it. But ladies, you must understand that that is fucking confusing. Just is. Now, that would be like me, Dave Chappelle, the comedian, walking around the streets in a cop uniform. Somebody might run up on me. Oh, thank God. Officer, help us. Come on, they're over here. Help us. Argument. Oh, just because I'm dressed this way does not make me a police officer. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, all right, lady, fine. Fine. You are not a whore. But you are wearing a whore's uniform. I'll tell you that just right now.
So you get my point. I mean, the bottom line is that these kids, they're walking around in thugs' uniforms. So bottom line is, if you want to look like a thug, I'm going to profile you like one. That's the reason why you're wearing it, right?
Okay. All right. Wait a minute.
Not so a strong enough argument. Not a strong enough argument.
No, I'm not trying to argue. I'm not trying to argue at all. But, again, what I keep saying is this, all right? Who's choosing this uniform, or where is this uniform coming from? Because it's like
anything that does is
something as a negative. All right, whether it's his hair,
whether it's his manner of speech, it's
always something. There's always going to be something.
James, is something, unfortunately, as unfortunate as it is, and I think who said this? We heard this on Bill O'Reilly. Was it what's his name? The guy that comes on every night, Miller.
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller. As unfortunate, or maybe it was, what's his name, whoever it was.
Bernie Goldberg?
No. The other one that got punched in the nose.
Geraldo.
Yeah. As unfortunate as it is, there are certain things that are depicted in a certain way, whether it's due to media, whether it's due for marketing, whether it's due through music, whatever. Certain things are depicted a certain way, and as unfortunate as it is, but it's reality. So to be dressing a certain way or conducting yourself in a certain way, if that gives you a certain reputation, and that reputation doesn't fit with who you are, then you may want to change up.
Yeah, if Trayvon is so innocent, and he's a good kid who doesn't get himself into trouble. No, if he is. If he's so innocent. If he's so innocent.
I don't agree with it, but it is what it is. I mean, honestly.
He was innocent. First and foremost, innocent means that if he was innocent, the question in and of itself means that, okay, he must be guilty of something. We haven't found out yet.
No,
I'm not suggesting that. Nobody's suggesting
that.
My point is that there is what I'm saying is that the only person who is presumed innocent in this whole case is Trayvon Martin. And why is that?
Why is that? The fact of the matter is because in the situation, he was doing nothing wrong, all right? He didn't have drugs on him.
James, you don't believe he was doing anything wrong. Just say that.
We don't believe he was doing. What do you mean we don't believe he was doing anything wrong?
Tell me how you know he was doing nothing wrong.
Because
how do you know that he was?
I'm saying the same thing. I have never suggested that Trayvon Martin was doing anything wrong or right. I've never suggested that here.
We can only go by witness testimony, correct?
No, exactly. No. What I said was the only thing that I suggested was the fact that who is to say that Trayvon did not start that fight, as George Zimmerman said?
How could he have started the fight when George Zimmerman started the whole thing rolling?
Regardless of whether or not George Zimmerman
picked this man out.
If George Zimmerman had not been coming into his home, driving into his home, looking.
He was leaving his home.
Leaving his home, fine. He was going to go get groceries.
He does every, Monday or
something. Right. So now he's leaving his home. He sees somebody suspicious. But the bottom line is this, that you cannot presume that Trayvon is the only person innocent here and that George Zimmerman is guilty. Everyone has given the presumption.
No,
well, then here's the question you asked Zimmerman. Here's a question for Zimmerman. Being the neighborhood watch captain, are you privy to everyone that moves into this complex when they move in?
No. But if you hear, listen, we're going to play, let's play the 911 tape. We got 10 minutes.
No, wait, answer the question. I mean.
No, because I think we need to hear it in order to answer those questions. And let's listen to the tape so that we can get our own. From what we hear, then we'll respond. How about that?
Can I give you something to look for before we listen?
Yes.
From the point where you hear George Zimmerman gets out of his car and begin to pant and breathe heavy.
In fact, hold on, JC. Let me stop you. Because actually now, let me tell you why that's not a good thing. Because in this particular case, it's what we would call in a court of law, we would call that leading the witness.
No.
So it is.
Okay. I'll make that point after you listen to it.
Fair enough.
Now the tape is the witness.
Right. Exactly.
And what do you mean by what we would call in a court of law? I didn't know you had a law degree.
I've been in a court.
You watched enough Law and Order.
And I was extremely involved in my defense. Extreme.
Okay, she don't let them put.
No, believe it or not, you do learn a lot when you're helping defend yourself. Yes,
actually,
you do.
When you're defending yourself and you're very involved in events, even Daniel Convisser, who was my trial judge, said that during my bail hearing. He said, you were very involved in your defense, and we expect to see you back here to continue in that. So he saw how involved I was in my defense.
Still doesn't put Esquire at the end of your name.
Let me just go.
Still does it.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Central Police Department, lines being recorded by Sean.
Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. It's Retrieve You Circle. The best address I can give you is 111 Retrieve You Circle. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around the area?
Looking at all the houses.
Okay.
Now he's just staring at me.
Okay, he said it's 1111 Retrieve You or 111?
That's the clubhouse.
That's the clubhouse. Do you know he's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
He's got his hand in his waistband. And he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say he looks?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yeah. He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay?
Over here.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. These assholes, they always get away. Yeah. When you come to the clubhouse, you come straight in and make a left. Actually, you would go past the clubhouse.
Okay, it says on the left-hand side from the clubhouse?
No, you go in straight through the entrance, and then you make a left. You go straight in, don't turn and make a left. Shit, he's running.
He's running? Which way is he running?
Down towards the other entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
Okay.
All right, sir, what is your name?
George. He ran.
All right, George, what's your last name?
Zimmerman.
And, George, what's the phone number you're calling from?
407-435-2400.
All right, George, would you have him on the way? Do you want to meet with the officer when they get out there?
Yeah.
All right, where are you going to meet with them at?
If they come in through the gate, tell them to go straight past the clubhouse and straight past the clubhouse and make a left. And then they go past the mailboxes. You'll see my truck.
Okay, what address are you parked in front of?
I don't know. It's a cut through, so I don't know the address.
Okay, do you live in the area?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your apartment number?
It's a home. It's 1950. Oh, crap. I don't want to give that out. I don't know where this kid is.
Okay, do you want to just be with him right near the mailboxes, then?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, George, I'll let him know to meet you with the author.
Actually, could you have him call me and I'll tell him where I'm at?
Okay, yeah, that's no problem.
My number, you got it.
Yeah, I got it. It's 407-435-2400.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, no problem. I'll let him know to call you when they're in the area.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, that's the entire phone call, right? That's the entire phone call. Okay.
Finish this.
Now, let me just say this, and you guys can scream and holler for the next 3 minutes after I say something. George Zimmerman says at the beginning of that tape, if you heard him, he's looking at me and he's coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
Is George Zimmerman still sitting in his car?
Yes.
That's okay.
That's one. Yep. Let me finish.
Okay, wait a minute.
Two.
Hold on.
Let me finish. Two. Let me finish.
Let him finish. Let him
two.
Finish.
Two. George Zimmerman gets out of his car when he says that Trayvon is doing what?
Running.
Thank you. Now you guys go on.
All right.
Go on.
Okay. Hold coming on. Back. Hold on. Let me get in on this first, please.
Go ahead.
Before I lose my train of thought. Okay, first and foremost, George Zimmerman says the man, he's looking at him, all right, and he starts walking back to the car, all right? Now,
George Zimmerman's not out of the car yet.
He's looking at me, and he's walking my way.
Thank you.
All right? Okay. All right. Then he turns around and he takes off. Correct?
Yes.
He's running. Okay. So if he's running, why are you still getting out of the car chasing me?
Oh, goodness freaking gracious. The guy.
What do you mean, goodness gracious? Let me ask you a question, Reese. If you turn around and you see a strange man in a car watching you, as a matter of fact, you were the one who said yourself, why did he go back after him? Or why didn't he just run to his house? He ran away. He saw a stranger watching him. He ran away.
And he walked towards the car first?
Well, he was like, well, maybe it was somebody he knows. Oh, no, wait, what's going on? Who's this? Why is he just standing there staring at me? Oh, I don't know that guy.
JC, please interject.
Okay, quickly. Again, I know Reese hates my map, but where George Zimmerman was, if this guy was coming from the 7-Eleven, he had to come towards him and past him to even get into the complex.
Goodness,
so why wouldn't he be coming towards him?
He says, he's looking at the guy, he says, now he's walking towards me. All
right?
Right.
But he would have to, because this guy lives just past the entrance of the complex.
We were all under the impression that George Zimmerman was always following him. George Zimmerman says,
No. We were
not until you hear the car door open.
The car, and then sooner or later he got out the car.
But listen, from the moment you hear the car door open to the moment that the officer or the dispatcher tells him, please don't follow, that's about 12 seconds. From the moment that the dispatcher says don't follow him to the moment that George stops panting is roughly about 22 seconds. So we're talking a total of about 34 seconds. It should have taken him 12 seconds to get back to his car from the moment he asked him to stop following him.
You know what? We're going to play this over. Guys, I think you guys are missing something.
Oh, and wait a minute. Here's another part.
Let's go to the top of the hour. We'll be back. Okay. We'll break it down. I think you guys got this all wrong. Reese on the radio. Be back. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity.
I have a little man who's creeping for the snow. And everywhere that Mary went from there for sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Denver Police Department, lines being recorded by Sean.
Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. It's Retrieview Circle. The best address I can give you is 111 Retrieview Circle. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah. A dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around the area?
Looking at all the houses.
Okay.
Now he's just staring at me.
Okay. It's 1111 Retrieview or 111?
That's the clubhouse.
That's the clubhouse. Do you know what he's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
This guy's hand in his waistband. And he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say he looks?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yeah. He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay? Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. These assholes, they always get away. Yeah. When you come to the clubhouse, you come straight in and make a left. Actually, you would go past the clubhouse.
Okay, it says on the left-hand side from the clubhouse?
No, you go in straight through the entrance, and then you make a left. You go straight in, don't turn and make a left. Shit, he's running.
He's running? Which way is he running?
Down towards the other entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
Straight past the clubhouse and make a left. and then they go past the mailboxes. You'll see my truck.
Okay, what address are you parked in front of?
I don't know. It's a cut through, so I don't know the address.
Okay, do you live in the area?
Yeah.
What's your apartment number?
It's a home. It's 1950. Oh, crap. I don't want to give that out. I don't know where this kid is.
Okay, do you want to just be with him right near the mailboxes, then?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, George, I'll let him know to meet you with the author.
Actually, could you have him call me and I'll tell him where I'm at?
Okay, yeah, that's no problem.
My number, you got it.
Yeah, I got it. It's 407-435-2400.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, no problem. I'll let him know to call you when they're in the area.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, I think Reese is on mute.
I apologize. I put my microphone on mute. It's Reese on the radio, 6 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. We're listening to the 911 call of George Zimmerman to the Sanford Police Department. Look, I don't care what it is that you guys tell me. You're not going to convince me otherwise. George Zimmerman doesn't.
You've already made your decision. You've been
now
so close-minded.
Now, because I'm looking, I'm listening to the evidence.
So am I, all right? What I'm hearing is, okay, the man was facing him, walking towards him. He has something in his hands. There's something wrong with this guy. I don't know what his deal is, all right?
Stop.
He's black, all right?
Wait a minute.
All this, and you're still going to get out of your car?
Stop it, James. Stop it.
What do you mean, stop it? Why is he still getting out of his car, Reese? If he was so scary, if he was so suspicious, all right, and you thought he was on drugs, he said himself, this could be anything wrong with these guys, all right, and he did say, these assholes, they always get away, all right, he gets out of his car and he follows him?
James, I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
I'm not believing, and you're listening to the same thing I'm listening to.
And I'm sorry, I'm seeing it a different way. But that being said, hold on one second.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you something.
You're kidding, right?
Wait, I'm sorry. JC, you go, but then I got to go back into what I talked about earlier. We had Derek the Bounty Hunter on the air earlier. And look, I wish I had the tape to play for him and see what it is that he had to say. But nonetheless, James.
No.
JC, you go. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, dismissing that map that I had, I went to Bing.com.
Okay.
And I looked at an aerial view of this complex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm listening to the audio.
Right.
And I'm studying a map at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, George Zimmerman says he's up near the clubhouse.
Right.
Now, from where the clubhouse is,
mm-hmm.
to where that cut through where he said he couldn't say what it was because it didn't have a street name on it,
mm-hmm.
that cut through is a sidewalk in between two rows of complexes.
Okay.
That's still a great distance from his car. If he had stayed in his car and not followed him, like this guy, like the 911 operator told him, we wouldn't be here. There's no way.
Listen.
If from the distance from where the clubhouse is to where the actual shooting took place, there's no way in hell you could tell me that Trayvon dragged him from those mailboxes to where the shooting took place. Impossible.
I don't follow you because I don't think
what
there's
he's
any.
What he's saying is that the altercation happened.
Too far away from the mailboxes.
Too far away from the mailboxes, which was
where he was supposed to be meeting the police.
Well, okay. Even though he was supposed to be meeting the police, the bottom line is, if he
followed him, he followed him.
I'm not disputing that he followed him. He followed him because you hear his car door open when he's running. He said he's running. Now, wait a minute.
The car door opened for that.
But wait. Well, hold on. Let me bring in one factor. I want to bring this in because this is very important. Can anybody here tell me what the girlfriend said to police about Trayvon Martin when she says Trayvon Martin said somebody
was following him? She told him to run.
She told him to run.
Right. But she says that what was happening? What did she say was happening?
What?
What did she say was happening when she told Trayvon to run?
That this creepy guy is following him.
Was he?
This creepy guy was following him.
But was he?
Well,
George
obviously.
Zimmerman. No.
Creepy white guy?
Was George Zimmerman? Was George Zimmerman following Trayvon Martin before he ran? Yes or no?
The car door opened before he said, wait, he's running.
That's not true.
He said that Trayvon told her he's following me. She says, well, then run.
Right. Hold on. Was Trayvon Martin being followed when he ran? Did you hear the car door open after... The car door opens when George Zimmerman says he's running, and then you hear the car door open. Do I have to wait again?
Reese.
Oh, no.
Explain the distance from the mailbox to where the shooting took place and tell me that the man did not follow him.
Okay, wait a minute. Where?
Wait.
JC, you have the map, and you have George Zimmerman's at-home address from the 911 tape.
Not even his at home address. It's there. The address is on the audio. But where he said his car was parked, not at the clubhouse, and to where the shooting took place, is a hell of a distance.
Okay, but wait a minute. What I'm trying to establish is where George Zimmerman was when he first saw Trayvon and called 911. Was he sitting in front of his house?
No, I guess he was leaving the complex. But see, what you got to understand is where the front entrance of the complex is, that's where the 7-Eleven is. So he had to come in the front entrance.
Now, wait a minute. We've also established that George Zimmerman is leaving his complex to go shopping. Is that correct, Mayor?
Uh-huh.
Now, George Zimmerman is leaving his home. He's leaving his home to do shopping as he does on that day.
Mm-hmm.
How can it be considered that Trayvon Martin assumed that he was being followed by somebody leaving the complex?
He was leaving.
I got to stop everybody. There's no way you guys are missing this. I'm going to play it one more time, and I want you to hear because I'm going to stop it right at the point where he gets out of the car, and you hear when you leave the key in the ignition, doom, doom, doom. When you hear it, tell me whether or not you hear it.
Central Police Department, lines being recorded by Sean.
Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. It's Retrieve View Circle. The best address I can give you is 111 Retrieve View Circle. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around the area?
Looking at all the houses.
Okay.
Now he's just staring at me.
Okay, he said it's 1111 Retrieve View or 111?
That's the clubhouse.
Do you know what he's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
This guy's hand in his waistband. And he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say he looks?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yeah. He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay?
Over here.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. Oh, they always get away. When you come to the clubhouse, you come straight in and make a left. Actually, you would go past the clubhouse.
It says on the left-hand side from the clubhouse?
No, you go in straight through the entrance, and then you make a left. Yeah, you go straight in. Don't turn and make a left. Shit, he's running.
He's running? Which way is he running?
Down towards the entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading?
He's standing. Oh, shit, he's running. He opens up his car door. Somebody explain to me how he was following him up until that point. Somebody tell me where you heard he had been following him up until that point.
He wasn't. Nobody said that he was.
Reese?
But wait a minute. He ran. Hold on. He ran. You hear the car door open. You hear the car door open. So this whole thing about how he was following him, and then he ran. George Zimmerman the entire time is stationary on the phone with the police dispatcher, and then you hear him open up the car door and chase him when he starts running. So please, can somebody explain to me how he was following him, then he ran, and then George Zimmerman is pursuing him? It's two different stories, and the 911 tapes clearly dispute all of those claims. I don't know how many times
first,
I have to hear this.
First, okay, he was in his car. He was driving along, all right? He stops when he sees this guy, right?
Right.
Okay. He was going through the neighborhood. He stops when he sees the guy. He's on his phone. He's watching him, all right? He's not following. He's watching him, all right? Now, Trayvon, he clearly says Trayvon walks towards him. He says he has something in his waistband. All right, something's wrong with the guy. All right, and he has something in his waistband.
He said he had his hand in
his
waistband.
Hand in his waistband.
He had his hand in his waistband. All right, and there's something up with this guy. Right?
Yeah.
Trayvon, okay, he's still on the phone. He's still watching him. Trayvon turns around and runs. Now, how does that fit into what George said where he was attacked?
Hold on. In case nobody heard me, let me make sure I save for the cheap seats. Okay? Let me make sure I save for the cheap seats for people who don't get it. It had always been determined that George Zimmerman was following Trayvon Martin.
He chased him down like a dog.
And that he chased him down like a dog and killed him and profiled him. But in the 911 tapes, you clearly hear George Zimmerman says, now he's checking me out. Now he's walking towards me. He is on the phone reporting that somebody is suspicious. George Zimmerman believes the kid is suspicious. If the kid is doing nothing, in George Zimmerman's mind, if he's doing nothing, right, and the kid darts off, blow, he's out of there. Trayvon doesn't run home. I don't know why, but he doesn't run home. He doesn't run 70 yards to his home. All right? It's almost the length of a football field. He doesn't run home. He runs somewhere else. George Zimmerman then gets out of his car and then pursues him. He's told to stop pursuing him. Everyone is under the impression that George Zimmerman was just driving around following this kid. But there is nothing in the 911 call to suggest that. Not one thing. He only gets out of his car to chase him when Trayvon runs. Only confirming, not that it was right, but confirming George Zimmerman's suspicion that the kid was up to no good. If you see somebody committing a crime and they believe that they've been spotted doing a crime, what does a criminal normally do? Run. But if you ain't doing nothing wrong, what the hell are you running for? Trayvon Martin's got no reason to run, but he does. And everybody can make the argument that he thought that he was being stalked or he thought that the person may have been a predator. That may be true. But if that's the case, Run home. He didn't do that. What the hell did he get into a confrontation with George Zimmerman for? How did he get into a confrontation with George Zimmerman? Run home. He didn't run home. Now, I know people don't like to hear that, but he didn't do it. He didn't run towards his home. He didn't get to his house. He didn't go get his father. He's on a cell phone. He had enough opportunity to get on the phone and call Dad. Dad, I think somebody's chasing me. Dad is right there in the complex with his fiance. Dad's no punk-looking guy. Dad's pretty brawny himself. Dad looks like he could take a punch and probably throw a few. But he runs. Why? Do you really believe, and I don't give a damn what anybody says. If there's anybody out there who thinks that they can make me believe that Trayvon Martin was some scaredy cat of some sexual predator at 6'3" playing football. Come on. Come on. You're not going to convince me of that. George Zimmerman's going to walk, like it or not. He's going to walk. You guys cannot confuse me with this case. You can't. I'm telling you, I know that I'm right here.
I'm not trying to confuse you, but the thing is, I'm not going to walk because there's, again, all right? George Zimmerman.
James, let me make this quick point.
Go ahead.
Reese, the distance from the entrance of the complex to where the shooting took place is shorter than the distance from where the shooting took place to where his father's girlfriend lived.
Run home.
He was on his way there. He had no choice but to go the way that he had to, or he would have left the complex completely.
Well, wait.
He had no choice.
Is George Zimmerman behind him? Or is George Zimmerman blocking the path to his home? Is George Zimmerman stalking him? Is George Zimmerman blocking the direction that Trayvon needs to go to get to his father's girlfriend's house? Yes or no?
That we don't know.
Oh, come on, man. You can't say that either.
Wait, Reese.
He says he sees the guy walking around from where I'm talking about where George Zimmerman's car is parked when he calls the police at 111, wherever that address was, 111.
It's 1110.
Whatever, 1110. Where George Zimmerman's car is parked and where he sees Trayvon Martin. Is in any way George Zimmerman's car impeding Trayvon Martin from getting from where he is to his father's girlfriend's house?
Okay, now, Reese. To get from the 7-Eleven to his father's house, where his father's house is, he had no choice but to go by Zimmerman.
He had no choice but to go by the clubhouse and the mailbox. George Zimmerman is exiting the perimeter. He's exiting the place.
He's at the clubhouse.
Right, but what I asked you was, where he sees Trayvon Martin, and Trayvon Martin's coming back from the store because he's got the Skittles and iced tea, so that means he completed the task of going to the store. Where George Zimmerman's car is, how far is it from the entrance?
Not very far at all.
Thank you. So Trayvon's already in the complex.
Wait a minute. How did George Zimmerman see him in the first place? Unless he saw him coming from the store, crossing the street, crossing his path.
He never saw him coming from the store because if he had saw him coming from the store, he would have never ever used the words lurking around. If Trayvon's just walking, he's not lurking around.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't ascertain from any of that that Trayvon Martin is not walking directly to his home. If he is walking directly to his home, if from the entrance to his father's girlfriend's house, how far is that away, JC?
Anybody he doesn't recognize is lurking.
It doesn't matter. How far away from the entrance to his father's...
It doesn't matter.
How far away from the entrance to his father's house?
Entrance to his father's girlfriend's house.
His father and girlfriend lives at the very back entrance of the complex.
How far?
Well, I mean, you can't tell.
A football field?
Probably two of them.
Okay, so why? It's a distance.
You have to talk to him in wrestling ring.
No, there's about two football fields.
So he's walking. Okay, do you understand? Two football fields. That's
right.
360 feet times two.
Right.
820.
360 and 350.
350
and 350 is what? Seven?
Uh-huh. It's
360. 350
and 350.
Yeah, times two. Uh-huh.
Not 800 and something.
I did not say 800.
Yes, you did.
Okay, 720.
There you
Thank
go.
You. 720. 720 feet.
And the murder had to have happened at least a good... Maybe...
How did I get that wrong?
You said 720 feet?
720 feet. If it's two football fields, it's 720 feet. A football field length is exactly 360 feet.
Right, right. I mean, that's a rough estimate. The murder took place far past the first football field.
Okay, far past
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 doors away. The murder took place 11 units away from the
from the entrance.
11 units away from from where his dad girlfriend lives.
Okay, so it's 11 units away. That being
right.
said, less than a football field from where he can go. My question to you is, how is George Zimmerman in between Trayvon getting to his father's girlfriend's house? How? He can't.
Listen. If Trayvon jumped out and ambushed him like he said he did, or like it's believed that he has, then George Zimmerman was out of place. And that's the bottom line.
Yep.
Even if he
and
was.
And again, if he's running away, okay, he's running away, how did he double back to attack you?
It doesn't matter whether or not he doubled back.
Yes, it does, Reed, because that's his whole thing.
Is,
he said he shot him because he was being attacked. How
again,
did you get attacked? Why did you get out of the car?
And again, meet me at the clubhouse.
It caused his whole...
This is what
his whole categorization of the events is skewed, because if the man is running away from you, how does he attack you?
Let me tell you something. I want you to hear something real quick, okay?
Answer that question. You still haven't answered that.
Because you're asking me to answer.
And that's on the tape.
He's running. Listen to me. Everybody else is speculating on something that you cannot determine. Nobody knows whether or not Trayvon came back and assaulted him. George Zimmerman always says he does. And I'm not I can't ascertain that, so I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to talk about a hypothetical. There's no reason to. Because hypothetical...
It's not a hypothetical, because, again, the man, it is in evidence. He's on the phone saying he's running away.
The bottom line is that Trayvon was not followed until he ran.
Until he ran. Either way, whether he was running or not, okay?
Wait, listen. Concede one thing to me. Listen to me. Everybody concede one thing to me. Before you heard that entire 911 tape, be honest. We were all made to believe that Trayvon Martin was being followed from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me whether, just concede to me. Before we heard that 911 tape in its entirety, we were made to believe that Trayvon Martin was being followed from the jump. And now we know that Trayvon Martin is not followed until he ran. Can we at least concede that? Because that complete, I don't care what anybody says about the shooting and whether or not it was justified.
Well, I can
but
concede
it changes
that he wasn't following him on foot. I can't concede.
He was not following him on foot. He was in his car. We can all concede that, right?
Okay.
All right. That's all I want to know. Now, what happened after he followed him? We have no clue because he's off the phone. He's off the phone with the 911 operators, and then we cannot speculate. But we have been led to believe by the media and by a whole bunch of hyperbole that this was George Zimmerman stalking him, chasing him, and attacking him. And the truth of the matter is that that's no longer true listening to that 911 tape. Hold on, James, before you make your point, I need to play this. Because this is what I say still to this day changes not only the complexity, but I am certain is going to make sure that George Zimmerman goes free. This is Alan Dershowitz talking about the affidavit about George Zimmerman's filed by the district attorney in Jacksonville.
To this conversation, you've seen the affidavit of probable cause. What do you make of it?
It won't suffice. Most affidavits of probable cause are very thin. This is so thin that it won't make it past the judge on a second-degree murder charge. There's simply nothing in there that would justify second-degree murder. The elements of the crime aren't established. Basically, what's in the affidavit is what's in the public domain, with the exception of the few little things that were put forward by your previous commentator. But the fact that the mother identified the voice as that of her son, of course, we all knew that that was going to happen. There's nothing in there, of course, either about the stains on the back of Zimmerman's shirt, the blood on the back of his head, the bloody nose, all of that. It's not only thin, it's irresponsible. I think that what you have here is an elected public official who made a campaign speech last night for re-election when she gave her presentation and overcharged, way charged. This case will not, if the evidence is no stronger than what appears in the probable cause affidavit, this case will result in an acquittal.
Result in an acquittal. If it's not thrown out by the judge outright. That's from Alan Dershowitz, famed attorney.
There's still the probable cause.
Harvard Law. It's a probable cause affidavit. It's the breakdown of the case. It doesn't mention anything about George Zimmerman's injuries. And remember, she's saying that it was a predatory kill. Predatory. That they he profiled him. But when you hear that tape and Trayvon Martin runs, the question's going to be, I'm sorry, for me, as somebody who's worked on a defense, the first argument I'm going to make is, why did he run?
Wow.
I know you don't want to see it that way, James.
Did he run? And again, so basically they're going to say that he thought he was, so he must have been guilty of something. The fact that he has some stranger, you know, staring him down, doesn't come into play?
Mm-hmm. Hey, George.
The motivation. You're saying, why did he run?
George Zimmerman, let me ask you. During your tenure as a neighborhood watchman, have you ever had a alleged perpetrator or a suspect run from you? Yes, sir, I have. On often occasions, once they recognize that I'm neighborhood watch and I've spotted them doing something,
okay,
the first
wait
thing
a minute,
they do is...
Wait a minute. Did he have anything on him that said that he was neighborhood watch?
Do
you have anything, any identifying paraphernalia at all?
It doesn't matter.
It does.
No,
it does. Because you just called
it
a question.
Let me tell you why I called it. I'm going to tell you why I called it into question. It's because what they're trying to
say
is...
What am I asking, Reese? What am I asking?
Let me tell you
what... You're a mind reader now.
No, I'm trying to tell you what it is that I'm saying. You're calling into the question of whether or not George Zimmerman profiled someone. George Zimmerman. According to the probable cause affidavit, that's what they're accusing him of, James. They're accusing him of profiling him.
All right. Which he did. All right. He saw a man in a hoodie, all right, because it can be inferred from his own mouth, all right? He looks black. He turned around. Oh, he is black. Something's wrong with him.
So what?
He said this in succession. That's a profile. Profile right there, Reese.
James, so he profiled him because he was black? Tell me where you can ascertain that from the fact that...
Right after he says he's black, all right? He says something is wrong with him.
Yeah, he looks suspicious.
Hand in his waistband. These fucking assholes, they always get away. He's already made his assumption.
I don't think.
He's already made his assumption, Reese.
So how is that profiling, James?
How is that not profiling?
Oh, so you mean had he been white and he said he was acting strange? And he had his hand in his waistband, it wouldn't have been profiling? He can only make that assertion if he's white. No, James, you said it. I didn't. He can only make that assertion if it's white. Yes or no? You said that he's acting strange.
I'm going by what was on the tape. Now, see, now you're going by a hypothetical. I'm going by what was on the tape.
You keep saying that it's profiling. You keep saying that it's profiling because he's black.
It's a profile.
And I said, James, you keep saying that it's profiling because he said he was black and acting strange. Are you saying that because he used the word acting strange and black, that automatically makes it a profiling?
Acting strange? No. Not just acting strange. Then when he turns around, he says he looks. First, he says this is Trayvon had his back to him. Okay. Now he says he looks. First, he says he looks like he's on drugs, and he looks like he's black. Now, first and foremost, how could he ascertain if he looked like he was black if he's got your back to him?
He looks black, and we don't know whether or not he had his back to him. He said he looks black.
Turned around, and he's looking at me now.
But who cares, James? Are you saying that because he's black, he's not allowed to be a suspect? Because if he is...
No. What I'm saying is, just because he's standing there doesn't mean he should be a suspect.
You're saying that when you're black and you're standing around looking suspicious, that nobody...
How are you looking suspicious? What is looking suspicious, Reese? What was he doing that looked suspicious? He was standing there on the phone.
James, we don't know what he was doing. James, what was he doing,
right.
James? Tell me.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. And again, as you said, you can't make that inference, right? We don't know what he was doing, and neither could George Zimmerman.
Okay. Again, George Zimmerman can see him, and he says he's looking and lurking around people's houses. That's what George Zimmerman says. It doesn't deserve any merit, James. It's what he's telling the police officer. Somebody.
Look, Kelly said he got you on that one. I heard that.
No, that's not what she said.
Oh, what did she say?
I said the police officer still said don't get out your car.
You're right.
No.
You're right.
They never said don't get out your car. They realize he's following him when he ran. And then they ask him, because they can hear him breathing heavy, are you following him? He says yes, and then he tells them, we don't need you to do that. But he only follows him after he runs.
Can I ask you one question?
You can ask anything.
Is the boy still dead?
Yeah, but to me...
Okay, well, then look, he admitted to shooting him. The boy is dead. End of story. I'm going now. I was just changing into my pajamas.
Thank you.
Hi, Kelly.
He will be acquitted.
Hi, Mary.
He will be acquitted, like it or not.
I don't think so.
Really? You don't think he's going to be acquitted?
His account doesn't jive. It doesn't. It leaves too many holes.
Really? Well, listen to Al Sharpton, and you tell me whether or not...
I don't need to listen to Al Sharpton. Why don't you even listen to Al Sharpton?
All of a sudden, you want to give Al some credibility?
Al only gets it when I say so.
Yesterday morning, Attorney General Holder came and spoke, said that the federal government was going to leave no stone unturned. Later that afternoon, we got the state prosecutor making the announcement. Let me say this. First and foremost, many people listening didn't think anything was going to happen. I did not think we'd get a murder 2 charge. I thought that maybe we get manslaughter. We are getting, of course, the right wing attacking because they don't get mad when you're...
Yeah, so Al Sharpton says that he thought he was going to get manslaughter because manslaughter sounds right. But they charged him with second-degree murder, and I know they're never going to be able to charge him with malicious intent. Never. Never.
No, because that's first-degree murder.
No. Malicious intent is second degree. Premeditated murder is first degree.
I think every state, and not every state is different, but I think different states have different meanings of second degree murder.
Now, second degree murder in the state of Florida is malicious intent to kill.
Yeah.
In other words, he had an indifference to Trayvon Martin and sought out to kill him in that instant. In other words, He's saying, I saw him, I didn't like him, I wanted to shoot him.
Listen, and even though this has all happened, he's still being cocky.
Whom?
Zimmerman.
What do you mean he's being cocky?
How so?
Huh?
He looked scared when I saw
him. The man spent the first night in jail crying.
Well, listen, he said, if you want peace, be prepared for war.
What?
What are you talking about? Who said that?
According to his MySpace page, updated since on the 12th. No.
According to his MySpace page, he's...
Yes, and they dragged Trayvon's Twitter through the mud.
He's right. I dragged Trayvon's Twitter through the mud. What did he say on his MySpace page?
On his MySpace page, his MySpace name, they took it down now, but his MySpace page, his name is That Niggy TV.
Yes, that Niggy Tugboat. That Niggy Tugboat. Right.
Yeah, Tugboat. And he had it written in Latin on his page, something that's the equivalent to you want peace but prepare for war.
Okay, well, I mean even Ronald Reagan said that.
Yeah, but that don't sound like somebody who humbled himself after killing somebody.
Wait. He didn't post that on his MySpace page after he killed him.
Yes, he did.
Him. No, he didn't.
It was posted on the 12th.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Then who has his MySpace account?
I will check that. In fact, I will call Matt Boyle, because Matt Boyle was the one who broke the story that he had.
Exactly.
Yeah, Matt Boyle. If you're telling me that was put on it, I promise you that wasn't put on his MySpace page by him.
Who else has his MySpace page?
I'm
telling you. Look,
wow,
I'm
you want him to be innocent so much.
I am 68% right on this one. I'm telling you. And by the way, when George Zimmerman is acquitted, I'm bumping my percentage up to 75%. Just to let you know that. And if I get it wrong, I will drop it down to 50. Okay? Just to make it fair.
Yeah. No. When he's convicted, I'm more right than you are.
They said that she gave this, according to Dershowitz, she gave this political speech because she's up for re-election.
Mm-hmm. What, did you forget your thought?
No, it's not that I forget my thought. I forget how I wanted to put it. But I don't think you'd be too pleased to find out she's a Republican.
I'm well aware that she's a Republican. That's why I know she's not only up for re-election, but I know that she charged him with the highest possible charge so that she can quell the violence. She's doing it literally to pacify the community.
If that is the case, then racism is very much well alive in this country.
You can believe that all you want. Anyway, when we come back, we'll come back when we talk about, I want to ask you guys about the Bully movie. Anybody know about that?
Yeah.
I know about it.
South Park annihilates the Bully movie with one line. When we come back, we'll play the line from South Park. And when they, when we come back, trust me, I've never seen South Park do anything so profound, and I've seen them do outrageous stuff. But this is so profound, you are going to be baffled when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey,
Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack? What's in the new chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty flour tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in the...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right, this is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be right back.
It's Reese on the radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. About 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Don't forget to log on to reeseontheradio.com tomorrow, Saturday. I'll give you the details of that show that I'm doing out in out in New Orleans.
You should be giving the details of that tonight.
Well, no, I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to give it tonight because you can listen to it live on Sunday at 5 Eastern Standard Time, 4 o'clock Central Time. It'll be in Louisiana, actually. The show is the Silky Slim Show. He's a guy who does an hour-long program, and I'm in the entire hour conversation with him, where we talk about everything from George Zimmerman to, you know, black-on-black crime to the state of black America, that whole bit. So he was he listened to the show a couple of times. In fact, he's an avid listener, so he wanted to talk to me and have me on the show, and he wants to have me back. And he's got an interesting story, too. In fact, I'll give you all his information. That'll also be on reeseontheradio.com, so you can check all that out. He's got a very graphic movie on there, which shows these young black kids getting killed. When you see the footage of these people lying on the ground and just like, oh, it's really gruesome. But it's an important piece of work talking about black-on-black crime and gang violence and stuff like that. Speaking of violence, this Harvey Weinstein movie called Bully, that everyone is talking about. And there was this big to-do last week, the week before, about the rating of the film, saying that, you know, everybody should see this film. It's about this kid. They follow this kid around, and they've got the camera on him, and the kid's being bullied, and they're really, really showing the consequences of this young man being bullied. You know, everyone's saying you got to see this movie. So they were having a problem with whether or not they just give it a PG-13 rating versus an R rating because of language. And they were fighting the Motion Picture Association of America in order for it to get this particular rating. But the one thing that everybody's been saying about this movie is that when it comes out, you got to take your kids to see it. It's one of the most important films of the year. With now everybody talking about this war on bullying, we got to end it. We got to stop kids from bullying each other. And, you know, it's very, very dramatic and it's very involved. And this whole argument about the MPAA and whether or not they give it a PG-13 rating versus this rated R. And everyone's making a big deal about that. And Harvey Weinstein is making a big stink, and the creators are making a big stink, and all of Hollywood's making a big stink. And South Park came in and really gave some light into this whole thing, which I thought was amazing, because sometimes the guys at South Park, they can really put a spin on things that make you sort of laugh, and usually they do things because they like to stir the pot. But when I saw this video today, it made me ask the question, do they really want to stop bullying? How important is this? Or is it just profiteering? It's gotten all of this buzz. So I always beg the question, if it's important, why not do what it is that you have to do to make sure that you want to make a public statement, make the statement. And South Park did this.
Everybody, Kyle. If it needs to be seen by everybody, then why don't you put it out on the internet for free? Well?
What's the question again?
If you really think every kid in America should see your anti-bullying movie, then why don't you put it on the internet for free? Get out of here, Tom. Try to go to the bathroom. Fine. But you're...
That's the question. If you think that everybody should see this film, just put it on the internet for free. Shouldn't we be profiting from bullying? It's such an issue.
I didn't even think about it like that.
Well, yeah, of course, because then they should be donating some of that money
to
that
what
they're making to ensure for programs for kids to get into.
We don't know if they're donating that.
I didn't
no, she's saying that they should. No, no, programs don't work. What are you going to do, take the money and then put the money towards schools and have anti-bullying programs? Schools are already doing that.
No, not anti-bullying programs, but add more activities, more things for the kids to be able to get involved in. Because if you keep their minds going at all times and keep them going and you have them in a structured life, they don't have time for the rest of that.
But it is an important film for all of them to watch, right?
Okay.
So forget about the profiteering. You want to reach the hearts and minds of children, and you make it mandatory for them to watch it. All you have to do is put it online for free and show it at school. Right?
Or just put it on YouTube. Get the bound to see it. They're already up there anyway.
I mean, look at the response from that Coney 2012 movie. That's a free film on YouTube.
Yeah. Made a lot of money, too.
It made a lot of money through donations.
And not only that, but hell, they made you their YouTube partners as well.
Look at that.
It's a lot of money to be made on YouTube.
Exactly. So in essence, it only turns out that this is nothing more than a profiteering and using profiteering on bullying.
Just like they used Trayvon Martin's death to promote Skittles and hoodies.
This is also true. It's kind of sad. But for South Park to do it that way, I thought it was brilliant.
This video can change how people think about bullying. It needs to be seen by everybody, Kyle. If it needs to be seen by everybody, then why don't you put it out on the internet for free? What's the question again? If you really think every kid in America should see your anti-bullying movie, then why don't you put it on the internet for free? Get out of here, Tom. Try and go to the bathroom. Fine. But when you're naked and jacking it in San Diego, don't ask me for help.
Yeah,
he says, why does he keep saying that? So you have to watch the full episode to understand.
You're
naked and jacking
it off.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
I guess
acting it, you idiot.
Oh, he's talking about the Coney 2012 movie.
Yeah.
Naked and jacking it in San Diego. Don't come crying to me.
You're just getting that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was a little late. But, yeah, that's actually pretty funny. Well, that just makes the whole thing even funnier. I'm sorry. Playing it again.
This video can change how people think about bullying. It needs to be seen by everybody, Kyle. If it needs to be seen by everybody, then why don't you put it out on the internet for free? Well? What's the question again? If you really think every kid in America should see your anti-bullying movie, then why don't you put it on the internet for free? Get out of here, Tom. Try and go to the bathroom. Fine. But when you're naked and jacking it in San Diego, don't ask me for help. Why does he keep saying that?
What? Sadly enough, we got to go. I know, no Friday night dance party today because somebody was supposed to supply the music and didn't give it. I won't say any names. Mary, why are you bugging? But we'll make up for it. This time, give your list so I can take care of it.
My bad.
Okay, no problem. But
I can sing for you, though.
Well, and we've got to go. So it was nice talking to you guys this week. Only 60
Friday
seconds left.
No,
that's okay. That's quite all right. You know, we'll end it on this note since we've got to go anyway. I don't even think I've got enough time to. But, guys, have a great weekend. I will try. You should try. And we will all try.
And remember this, Reese.
Go ahead.
We're right. You're wrong.
Yeah, we'll find out. Again, like I said, when I turn out to be right, 75% wrong, I'll drop myself back to 50%. I'm putting that much of my reputation on the line, gentlemen. And ladies.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling
you. I just want to hear that I'm more right than you.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah,
well, it usually does. You just don't admit it.
No, I admit it when I'm right. It's time for us to go.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week for JC the producer, the Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery, and, of course, the lovely Mary Mary. Why you bugging?
Peace
I'm Risa
out.
On the radio. We'll see you next week.
And the lovely Mary.